Who else agrees that picking the first foods for your baby is a super important milestone? When I was trying to decide what I wanted Sixta's first food to be, I knew it had to be healthy and taste good. O sea, algo que se pueda saborear. Sabina and Krista can be such picky eaters, and I wonder if Sixta would be the same way. So I started with the same baby food, papillas, bananas, and peas. But then I introduced her to fresh avocado and her eyes lit up, and she ate every last bite of it. She has been hooked ever since, and avocados are now part of her everyday meals. She eats it right off the peel, right after I wash it, of course. When the time comes to introduce solid foods, fresh avocados are a great choice to consider. Their smooth, creamy consistency, neutral flavor, and dense nutrition makes them an ideal first food. Each serving of avocado includes nearly 20 nutrients, including vitamins, minerals, dietary fiber, and phytonutrients important for good health. Plus, there's no sugar, no sodium, nor cholesterol in fresh avocados. Check with your doctor before introducing new foods. Get prepped by reading up on avocado nutrition and downloading easy mashup recipes at saboreaunohoy.com.
Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. And I was jumping on the waves with Krista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted, and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. Nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas! Hello.
Hi, Super Mamas.
Hello, everyone. Happy morning.
Happy morning, evening, night, whatever time you're listening
happy
to this.
Life.
October. We're
done with birthday season.
Yes. Oh my God. We had a collective birthday dinner at my sister's house, which incredible.
So much fun.
We have 5 October birthdays in the family now. We have two daughters.
Myself.
You and me. Mm-hmm. And our cuñada Paola. And it was so much fun. We had Thai food. We had one cake that we passed around.
And a hat.
We had a hat. Each one got their velita. And we each got one velita with the same cake and the same hat. And we kept passing it around. And we sang happy birthday 5 times in a row, which was really fun.
It was fun. I mean, really?
We're like, okay, your turn. Happy birthday to you. And then you blow the candle. Okay, now your turn.
It was so much fun. I think it should become a tradition now.
Yes.
In the family.
I feel like next time, though, we should do it on October 15th when it's no one's birthday, because this year we did it on October 16th when she was Krista's birthday and she was not having it.
Well, she was just mad because we were playing. We wanted her to take pictures and she wanted to play video games with Eddie.
Yeah, I guess. But the photo is hilarious.
Well, that photo is going to live on forever.
Yeah, forever.
Our first collective birthday. It was so much fun. And yeah, it's done.
It's
you
done.
Know what? It was like one of the best decisions that I did, like not having birthday parties.
Because what do you mean? We had a collective birthday party. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. But I know what you mean.
I was like, why did I do that to myself every year?
Well, you know.
I was telling my girls, I thought it was a great decision not to make birthday parties. What did you guys think? They're like, no, we want a birthday party next year. I was like, once the year starts again, we're going to be like, no, we should go somewhere again. And then they'll just forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, you already threw a lot of parties. It seems like, times three.
Times three.
There
so
you go.
Much.
I ended up celebrating my birthday this year.
Yay!
I never celebrate my birthday.
You don't?
I always work on my birthday. I don't like people making a deal out of my birthday. And I realized that I was having this conversation with my husband last night and probably bring it up in therapy at some point. is that it's very difficult for me to receive like love.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's difficult for me to be open to people celebrating me, which might be counterintuitive, people might think, because we're always doing something, you know, we're having a cookbook launch party. I understand, but it's more work related. It's not reset related. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I realized that a lot of the times I've had birthdays, I feel like maybe I self-sabotaged a little bit, mm-hmm. just so I didn't have, I don't know. It was weird. I was having this conversation, but this year I realized, you know what? I'm going to be open to love and celebration. And my husband took the day off from work, which is really rare too. And we went to Catalina Island, which I have never been. No idea. We were getting, that idea just popped in my head because my husband said to me, I'm going to take a day off for your birthday. What do you want to do? And my first instinct was to say, don't take the day off. I have a lot of stuff to work on, and which I do right now. I'm just deep into a lot of stuff that I need to do. But I said, you know what? Yeah, I'll take the day off. We'll do a day together. And normally I would say, well, you plan it, and then I would probably be like, this is all you planned, you know? Like that's really how my brain would work, just because, again,
yeah,
just self-sabotaging and very not being open to being loved and then having these expectations that mm-hmm. weren't met. So I told them, hey, why don't we do Catalina? Why don't we just go for the day? I mean, that's like a day trip. We have to get on a boat, do something there, and then come back. And that's what we did. We took a ferry. It's a $70 ferry per person to get on a boat. It's an hour boat ride. You get to the island. And the island is super cute. Look, listen, I had never been to Italy, and I'm not going to say it's like Italy, but I've seen a lot of pictures of like an Italian coast, and it looks the same.
Really?
It's like almost like a mountain. It has a lot of houses.
Oh,
I've a lot never of been. Boats docked in the front. And it's a cute, super cute little town. So we got off the boat, and we spent most of the day at the spa. He booked us a massage. We hung out at the spa looking at the water. We went to dinner, and then we rode back the ferry at 7:30, got in the car, and got home like around 10:30-ish, which is the time I usually get home after work. So
wow.
it was really nice. I had the best time. There's really no cars. It's just all golf carts in the island. There are some cars, but this guy picked us up after our dinner and gave us a mini tour of the island in his little golf cart, which was so fun. And we had a great dinner by the water. It was beautiful.
So it's a nice place to go and have a date.
Oh my God. I would say it's the perfect date trip. It was really, really great.
I've never been.
I had so much fun. I got my hoops that I saw so wanted.
I know. And now I know he listens to the podcast.
So I'm so excited. I was so happy. And he got me some sunglasses, which was really unexpected. But yeah.
That's so good.
I know. I was so happy yesterday. And then they cooked. My son and him made me breakfast in bed. So when I woke up, they brought me breakfast. They sang me happy birthday. Mm. And then what I loved the most is that he took video of Eddie making French toast, saying, I'm making breakfast for mommy because it's her birthday. So I have that video.
Aww.
So it was so, it was the best. It was the best good. Birthday. I loved it.
I'm glad. I'm glad you celebrated because you never do. And you know how you were saying that you feel guilty for taking the day off sometimes? It's a thing. I know. I was talking to Fernando the other day, and he was telling me the same thing. And I said, well, I know. Me too. Whenever I take a day off, I just feel like I shouldn't. Like bad Paulina for taking a day off. But we have to. You know, everything will be there.
Listen, yesterday I had zero remorse. Today, maybe a little bit. Actually, a lot of it. But yesterday, I just enjoyed myself, even when I was getting... another great... show to watch on Netflix. It's called The Brain or something. I forget. It's something about the brain. We'll link it on the show notes. But I saw this episode on mindfulness, and they explained mindfulness in a very deep level. And ever since I watched that episode, I've been really making a conscious decision to not allow my brain to go forwards or backwards, but stay present. So while I was getting my massage, I was really like focusing.
That's so hard.
I was really focusing on breathing and just focusing on, okay, now they're touching that part of my body. Now they're touching that part of my body. And, you know, so I was, that was pretty cool too.
That's the hardest thing. I am reading this book called The Battlefield of the Mind, where he talks also about that. Like catching those thoughts and just like, it's a battlefield. The mind is a battlefield.
And so is love. I hear. Well, today on the show, we have the one and only, the awesome, the incredible, my brother from another mother and another father, Javier Cabral, who is our co-author of our cookbook, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico. And we decided to have him on the show because, number one, we're promoting our book, so buy it. And number two, he's just an incredible human being that we absolutely love, adore, and admire so much. He's like a brother to us.
I learned so much from this episode about him, and I just admire him on a totally different level.
Yeah, now. I love him.
Me too.
I love him so much. Regardless of what you hear in the show, I do love him, guys, okay? So don't get on my case later on the comments, like, why were you such a bitch to Javi? That's just the way we show our love, okay? Sorry, I wasn't showing love as a child. Javier was raised in the streets of East LA and San Gabriel Valley. He developed his passion for writing at a young age and hasn't stopped writing since. He published his first article at the age of 16 and landed his first cover story for Sabor magazine at the age of 21. Since then, he's become a local authority on all things LA, food and drink culture, urban LA culture, punk rock, and local news, and has written for numerous publications, including the Los Angeles Times, Sabor, and Lucky Peach. He currently works as editor of the independent local news and culture site LATaco.com and as an associate producer for the Taco Chronicles on Netflix, and now co-author of our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Court of Mexico. I'm so happy, so proud to call him a family.
Family, yeah.
Family.
But before his interview, pick our tip
of the week. Hi, Super Mamas. I know we have talked about our book, Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico, in past episodes. The book tells the story of our family's journey from Oaxaca to Los Angeles, and it includes over 100 family recipes. Yes, that includes our OG award-winning mole negro recipe. It would mean the world to us to have your support and have every single one of you pre-order a copy today. You can pre-order Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico today by visiting ilovemole.com/Oaxaca cookbook. That's ilovemole.com/OAXACA cookbook. Our book will also be available everywhere books are sold on October 22nd, 2019. Thank you so much, mamas. We cannot wait for you to have a copy in your hands.
Paulina. Is it going to be a saving tip for me this time again? Because for me, it is kind of.
Okay, go.
Okay. So as you know, I have 3 birthday parties back to back to back with the girls. And balloons can be expensive. And you know how everybody's like, oh my God, my birthday balloon. More the kids. I mean, maybe not you, but like the kids, they want to have. So this year, what I did, I actually went to Target. And as I was walking in Target, I saw, you know, they have a party supply section, and I went to look for like plates or something for them. But they have these new balloons that you buy them by the dozen.
$2. What?
And then the big numbers that I had, the big gold numbers, were like $5 each. So what I did is like, okay, I'm just going to get one bag for each girl. So I got like polka dots for Sixta. I got unicorns for Sabina, and I got crowns for Krista, and I got the 3 numbers, and I got a helium tank that they sell over there. And so every birthday, every morning, I would just blow up my own balloons. And that's it. That was all my investment for the party.
All right.
And it looked like a party.
All right.
So I think, you know, actually, like having a helium tank and all of that, so that's just things that you should have as a mom with kids and balloons and stuff. You can just make a party happen like in a minute.
That's awesome.
So that was what I did. That's my tip. Go to Target, check it out, get them. They have really cute designs too for girls and boys.
That's so awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think like my picks are going to be things that I did that I was going to buy and then I didn't because I couldn't.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is like...
Plus, she hasn't bought anything, guys.
No. I'm really serious about this. Fast for a year. I mean, yeah. I'm like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in. But, you know, it's working out.
Yeah.
Things I would have bought, but I didn't.
That's the new name of the section.
Yeah. My girlfriend, Martha, is this more stylish. I love... Every time I see her, I want everything she wears. When we took her trip to Nashville, she had on this, it's called a knitted unstructured coat. It was absolutely beautiful. I tried it on and I was like, dang, I want to buy this, but I'm not. But I'm just going to make it my pick because if you are in the hunt for a nice fall coat, go to Macy's.com and type in mango coats. Their entire coat collection is fire. I mean, I would have bought three coats. And they're always having specials. So this coat was originally $130. Today, I went on the site because, I look at it. was $98, which is really great for a nice winter coat, I think. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars on a nice coat. But type in mango coats, you guys, on Macy's.com. I mean, or maybe you put it on your Christmas wish list. You know, if you're not spending... I may change my pick to a saving tip because it's kind of like, how are you telling us to not spend money and you're telling us to buy this coat? I know. I'm weird. Just saying. I would have bought this
next week
had I could.
Next week.
I'll buy this next year.
Yeah. And it'll be cheaper because it'll be less
temporada pasada. Yeah, true.
Okay. So those are our tips. And now we move on.
Interview with the greatest, the latest, the most amazing, incredible Javier Cabral. AKA the cluster, AKA the teenage cluster, AKA Paola's husband.
AKA co-writer of Oaxaca.
Oh, right. That too. Before we're going to get into that and how we know each other, tell us a little bit about yourself. We want to know, do you have any kids? Who do you live with? What's your background? Are you a mom? Come on. You are in Super Bowl Mass. Come on. This is like the highlight of your entire career.
It is, right?
Like, has come to this moment right now.
Joe Rogan who? And Mark Maron who? No, this is Super Bowl Mass. Damn it.
That's right.
So my name is Javier Cabral. I am a writer. I am not a mom. And I understand the privilege of being among the few men in the lineage of Super Bowl Mass. guest that has not been a mom, but I love my mom and I have huge respect for moms and shout out to mothers everywhere.
That counts as something. I mean, as long as you love your mother, that's all we care about.
Exactly. Shout out to mamas everywhere and thank you for your love for your children.
Oh, but you do have children.
Oh, do I? Oh, yeah, my dog, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Two dogs. Let's talk about how you have two dogs.
One dog now.
What happened to the other dog?
Do you
want to
give us the cheese? What's happening?
Nah, I don't want to talk about it.
Come on. It's juicy. It's great for ratings.
No. I don't want to talk about it.
It's great for ratings.
No, but you know, yes, I am a father to one amazing old English sheepdog, St. Bernard mix.
Fig,
which we all know and
love.
And,
well, at least it was not Fig that left.
Yeah. How awesome it is that when you have a dog, you can just send one back? Imagine with kids.
Let's just say like we sent her off to the rancho. Like,
that's good.
Yeah.
Is it like the rancho, quote unquote, that you tell your children? Oh, it's because he went to the rancho, but it's not really a rancho.
No.
It's like the toilet.
No. It's like literally like a paisa from Mexico City who is a dog trainer and he has like a rancho like by Agua Dulce, by Six Flags.
Oh.
And he has like chivitos and he has like chickens. And so she's over there just being what she was meant to be. Like, you know, like a dog.
That's what I'm saying. I think my daughters were meant to be free too. Like, can I send them there?
You're like, oh, I feel like my daughters were meant to be wilding out in the rancho. So can we just ship them to Oaxaca? And then I just keep the one that behaves.
Well, you two shipped your dogs to Oaxaca too, right? For the rancho with your with your parents a little bit?
Yeah, I shipped Diego out for 5 months while my house was getting renovated in the back.
And then Nina came back like a new dog and reinvigorated? No.
He's there.
Sophia never came back. Yeah. That's another story.
Okay, enough of it. So tell us a little about yourself. So you have a wife?
I have a wife, a lovely wife. Her name is Paola Briceño. And
Suave Crema.
Suave Crema, LLC. Since she's my amazing wife who cooks for me and always makes me a better man. So.
Aw, he has all the right answers. Look at him.
But this is this is Javi, though. This is Javi all the time. This is what we're besties. So tell me, Javi, what's keeping you busy these days?
What isn't keeping me busy? I almost had like a double take there. When I walked in, I commended Bricia, and also it was her birthday yesterday. So I want to give you a happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I know you bought me brownies. You're so sweet.
But I had a moment when I'm just like, I don't know, Bricia and the Lopez's make it look so easy to be so damn busy every single day, every single moment. Get up at, what time do you get up, Bricia?
Like 8.
Right. Yeah, I know that. Really?
No, okay. Can you imagine? That's like 2.5 hours wasted. No, I usually get up anywhere between 5:30 and 6.
Yeah. See, so I'm not. I'm very.
In my mind, I get up at 5, but in reality, I wake up.
So I'm very new to this life. Like just a couple of weeks ago, where I just realized I need to get up at 5:30 or 6 a.m. now in order to squeeze in everything. So I'm So my full time job is editor of LA Taco. We are the first site that celebrated the taco lifestyle in Los Angeles.
LATaco.com for those who don't know what we're talking about.
Follow us for the best news, culture, and of course, the best spots for tacos all around LA County. South LA, East LA, West LA, the Valley, the San Gabriel Valley, everything. We have taco spots all over. And my second job is the associate producer for Las Crónicas del Taco on Netflix. AKA The Talk Chronicles. If you haven't binged it, please do check it out. Watch it. Get hungry. And watch your grow for tacos. Watch your love for tacos grow in a matter of an episode, which just got renewed for a second season. So hey. Second season is coming too.
So you better wake up at 4:30 now.
No, right? Jeez. You know what? When I was writing the book, the Oaxaca book, I was doing like the work for the Chronicles, for the first season. And like that was when I realized too, like that. So right now I do have a lot on my plate, but
you're like, damn, it actually takes like just a lot of work.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
it also didn't help that Bricia, like I'll never forget the moment, it was a weekday in her house. It was a weekday morning at like 9 a.m. And she looked at me, she's like, hey, so I know that like cookbooks generally take 2 years to write. Especially one like as big as ours. But she looked at me in the eye and she was like, she pulled out her bottle of mezcal and she was like, you can do it in a year. Let's do it in a year. And I was like, I just got hired for Las Crónicas. Like, are you insane? I have to go to Mexico to go find like the best tacos. Like, and he's like, she put like the bottle down.
Let's make a sound. How did it go?
And she just poured me not a shot, because a mezcal is not a shot, it's
a glass.
It was one of those things, what's it called? A jicarita. Uh-huh. And I looked at her, I'm like, all right, Bricia, if the Lopez's can do it, and then so can I. So that's when I kind of, that was the turning point. And so my jobs are editor of LA Taco, the social producer for the Taco Chronicles, and the co-writer of Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico.
Oh, look at you, boss.
And now, I guess, like still freelancing, too. National.
And babysits, you guys, if you need a babysitter.
Yeah, sure.
Call Javi.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm a nice guy.
He has so much free time.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for having me.
That's it. I guess we can wrap this interview down.
Because he has a lot to do.
So that's about it, you guys. I got to go. Well, let's talk up a little about, our relationship with Javi. Because I think, I see you just as a little brother. I've known you for, over a decade, I would say now. Mm-hmm.
We've been friends for a very, very long time. We were introduced by the late by Jay Gold, rest RIP, our homie. He introduced us, which is so crazy to think about that. How he just continuously changed both of our lives. Mm-hmm. And when I met you, you were not even of age. You were like 19.
Yeah.
Right?
I had like long hair.
Yeah, you had long hair. And we were just...
It'll keep me.
I always say this because I think this is a very important thing to say. Javi was the first person ever that I've ever met in my entire life that took a picture of food. That took pictures of food.
Yeah.
We went to dinner once. He took me to eat mole. Everybody always wants to show me like a great mole and I'm always like, why?
Is that really what happened?
Yes. He took me to eat mole at Mole's La Tia because he felt so proud about it. And I was like, okay. All right. That happens all the time too. People are always like, oh, you got to try this mole. I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? Anyway, and you pulled out your SLR. SDL or whatever. So what are those big cameras?
DSLR, Nikon, whatever. Yeah.
And they brought the food in like any normal person a decade ago. You would sit down and eat your food. But this guy, he started taking photos of everything and I was just so confused. And I asked, why are you taking photos of everything you eat? Because then it just continued. Everywhere we went, you were the first person to take me to Gelada too.
Oh yeah,
ooh. Gelada too.
Yeah, you took me to lunch to Gelada. We would go eat raspa. He would take me to all these little spots. And every time, without fail, he would take a picture first. And I just thought it was the weirdest, most craziest thing. Like, why would anybody do that? Cut to now, I feel like every single person in the country must take a photo of whatever they eat before eating it.
Like, everybody, wait.
Pictures. Everybody, wait. Pictures. Everybody, okay, pictures. All right, cool. Let's go eat. But this was way back when... Nobody was doing it. And I remember going to Oaxaca during this time and going to eat with my cousins and I would pull out my phone. I think by then, I think I had a BlackBerry with a camera on it.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I would take photos and my cousins thought I was crazy. Same thing, like, eres super rara, Bricia. Like, why are you taking photos of your food? And I said the same thing that Javi said because I didn't have a logical explanation. I just copied what Javi told me. And Javi said, because I want to remember what I ate later. And I thought, that makes sense.
Wow.
I also want to remember what I eat later. So that's what I told my cousins. And they just thought, oh, okay, chido. Can you not do that right now, though? Because like people are looking at us weird.
Yeah, especially in Mexico.
Yeah, because they're just like 5 years behind, you know? Yeah, but people now take photos of everything in Mexico. Yeah,
and this is, remember, this is before Instagram. This is before...
Yeah, Twitter was around.
This is before Facebook. I think that was like MySpace days, wasn't it?
No. Definitely. Facebook was definitely... Facebook.
When did you have Pal Cabrón? What year was that?
I don't even remember. But we had a Facebook page for it. So I think we had Twitter. Okay. Twitter was like sort of like where, by the way, I'm loving Twitter again.
Yeah.
I just need to get better. You're really good at Twitter. You tweet often.
It's easy because like, you know, it's just for work. So I just plug in my stories.
I don't even understand Twitter yet.
You'll get there. Just keep on posting your thoughts.
Just thought you're. I think Twitter is like
it's like my whatever's in your mind, right?
I think like you would kill it at Twitter because you are the funniest person.
I always think like I should put this on Twitter. I'm like, okay.
You should.
Yeah, you should.
It's just things that people have in their mind. Like they just write. Like sometimes I'm in line and I want to say something to people in front of me, and I'm like, can't say that.
Yeah,
I should just put it on Twitter.
It's always, you would be so good on Twitter, Paulina.
It's always the things that you least expect that people will retweet. That they retweet. Twitter is the place for breaking news, more than any other news site because it's there.
Yeah. Wow. And it trends real quick. People love to talk about what they're thinking about. Paulina, I think you should go on Twitter.
I'm gonna start. Follow me on Twitter, guys.
Anyway, so we met each other. We were so young, and we just became friends. He had a blog called The Teenage Glutster that eventually evolved to The Glutster, and now it's just Javier Cabral.
It's Glutster Glutton.
Yes. Yeah. So I created the word Glutster when I was 15, and the root words are glutton, gluttony, and hipster.
Oh, hipster. I thought he was gangster.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a way better story. I'm going to start saying that.
I was like, you know, the glutton gangster.
Damn, that's crazy. Is that a freebie? Can I have it?
Yeah, you can have it. There you go.
Okay.
It's yours.
I'm going to take that.
And also, I love that you knew the word hipster
again, I know. A decade ago.
How did you know that?
Well,
word?
I know, and I'll tell you when I tell this story.
Tell us a story. Yeah, tell us your story.
Well, you got to remember,
you're such a visionary.
Well, this was not even 10 years ago. This was like
even becoming a friend. You saw the future.
06? What year is 06? I mean, how many years ago? I failed 13. Math 7 times. Okay. So
you failed math 7 times.
So yeah, 13. Nah, seems like longer. 13. Really? It was just 13 years ago?
19 minus 6 is 13.
Okay.
Yes.
This is why he's a writer.
I'm a writer, not a mathematician. Not an arithmetic guy.
arithmetic? Is that what it is?
And
I'm a mathematician.
This is back then before, I always preface, this is back then before the word hipster had any kind of like the same definition that it means now. You know, because now.
This is before people were taking photos of the food. Yeah. So put everything into context.
But I love the word gangster. I'm going to say that now.
Gangster.
Like, I mean, that's more fitting for me, right?
Yeah. I thought all this time I thought it was like gangster. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, because I didn't know that word existed back then. I thought it was like a made up word that just happened four years ago.
It is a
hipster.
4 years ago,
probably? Well, like 5 years ago. People started wearing like the like
okay,
ripped
keep
t-shirts
going with
stuff.
Your story. Forgive us. This is what we do. We interrupt people.
Man, so I don't know. Do you guys want like the sugar-coated story? Or do you guys want like the real story?
No, this is Super Mamas. We get the real story all the time.
You guys talk about some serious issues, right?
It's like therapy.
Can you cuss or not? You can't cuss. Just want to make sure.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
You think moms don't cuss or what?
We cuss the most.
Come on.
We drink the most. We cuss the most.
Okay, got it. I want to make sure it was like not your rated.
Breaking
stereotypes. It's not even that major. So what happened was that... I became really obsessed with food. And I don't really talk about this, guys. So thank you so much for listening to me. I was really obsessed with food to the point where it was a little like on the borderline of like anorexia or like ortho. Now there's a term for it. It's called orthorexia. When you're obsessed with healthy eating. The thing is, I was about 14 when I first started reading Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma, which just talks about like our messed up food system and, you know, and industrial meat. And so like that kind of shifted me into like veganism a little bit. So I was like a poser vegan.
A poser vegan.
I mean,
it's called a mall vegan.
No, really? I call it poser vegan because that's what it is. And you know, and especially if you're like, you know, if you grew up in a first generation Mexican household, like, you know, you can't, you know, how are you going to resist your mom's food? And like, you know, and
so you were vegan outside your food, outside your household.
Yeah. So, I tried to, but then, you know, I've always been this skinny. I've always had this, you know, this frame. I mean, since I was like in middle school. So I pretty much disappeared into midair because, you know, right now I'm like really skinny. Imagine I actually got down to weigh 105. And I was 6'2".
Wow.
So, after that, I.
But that's just because you were not eating or you were just only.
It was a weird like, somewhere in between, like some kind of something like that.
Like you were just so obsessed with only eating healthy things that you stopped eating everything else and you couldn't find healthy things. So you would choose not. You would rather not eat than to eat something bad.
You just gave me like a diagnosis. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I know, I've done that.
Yeah, because I'm really militant and hardcore sometimes. Like, if
just realized why I'm so skinny too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm sorry, life is too short to eat like shitty food and you know, and things that don't make me happy. So I discovered my passion at a very young age when I was still developing and, you know, had like a lot of anxiety and depression issues and all that stuff. So then I started writing about food. Because there was actually a book that was published, I forgot, around 2007. So it was called Everything I Ate, a year in the Life of My Mouth.
Oh.
And this is before Instagram, before I knew it was a guy, like an artist who like took a photo of everything he ate. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And that's why I started doing that too. Mm. And then I started writing and then I started reading Jonathan Gold. And then I started just really loving food culture and like what food does with, you know, with different, cultures in LA and how tasty food is. And then I just started because of that kind of unhealthy obsession that I had with food, I was able to channel that into writing about food and
but
writing my
thoughts.
But
my question to you is this, because, you know, we are Latinos and in our household, there is not a lot of healthy stuff. And I mean, I don't know about in your house, but like my, you know, in Mexico, it's like barbacoa for lunch and like, you know, huevos estrellados, huevos rancheros for breakfast. So how did you crave all those other foods? How did your parents teach you or did you learn it from like school? Was it friends?
From you know, there's a big issue.
Like, how did you even pick up that book? Was it at the library? Just because,
that
you
was,
know.
That was my older brother, Rogelio, mm-hmm. Ro, like people call him. And he gifted me that book, I think. And I started reading it, and it was my, you know, my fragile little mind couldn't handle it back then. I was just like, what? Like, so you're telling me that the meat I eat is like this bad. And, but you know, growing up in East LA and like poor, like, you know, you either, didn't eat or you ate your mom's food or you would save up your few pennies. And I'll never forget, like, you know, when like Top Value started carrying like almond milk, you know, uh-huh. I was like, wow, like, or like the first time that like a little health food store in East LA started carrying like Veginase.
When you were a teenager?
Yeah. I was like 15.
Wow.
Yeah. And, so I was able to just transfer that obsession into writing about food. And I still do that to this day.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Like, I've never heard that story.
Yeah, well, it's because that's a Super Mama exclusive right there.
Nah, nice.
Wait,
nice,
I'm still confused with the word hipster. Because we never got to that. Oh.
I don't know.
Because you were saying you. I thought that was the story was going to see like with the hipster word.
I don't know. I don't know why, but it was a word that like I didn't that was kind of starting to get famous, and again it didn't have that negative connotation that it has now. It just was someone who like knew his shit or knew like what was cool before it was cool.
That's how a lot of things start, right? Start like a positive and then people start making fun of it, like, and then it just turns into a bad thing later.
I know he wasn't a hipster, it's like a gangster.
Now it's a gangster. Gangster. That's a much better
gangster.
Yeah.
Of the gluttony.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna go back and talk about how we came to work together on the book. Because I think that a lot of people, I think a majority of authors always have a co-writer or a ghostwriter or a co-author, because writing a book really is a lot of work. And if you are just the person writing it, then oh my God, then that just means that it's just you're maybe like, you lost yourself for like a long time and you have to just like lock yourself in a room and write. And I just wrote a piece for Sabor. I sent it to you. Did you read it? No, you didn't read it.
Sorry, Mr. Busy.
Sorry. I wrote a piece for Sabor and I was and I went to Oaxaca and I wrote it. While I was writing it, I just had this whole like epiphany of just this other level of respect for people that write for a living every single day, and to have that, and just to also have that discipline of sitting down and writing. It is just so much of you that you put in. You know, it is tiring because people forget that the brain is an actual muscle that needs to get worked. And when that muscle, it's our biggest muscle in our body, and the one that requires more nutrients and so much. So that really is a muscle that you're working every single day. So when I was sitting there and I was writing, I just thought, oh my God, well, number one, I thought that would be pretty dope if that was my life, just writing all the time, because I could live anywhere in the world. Well, I could live anywhere in the world. And, you know, I would just spend a few hours a day writing these things and then hanging out. But then I just thought, wow, but that's just like constant thinking all the time and constantly trying to figure out new words and new angles and new stories. I just thought, oh, man, I should call Javi and apologize. Because I was pretty hardcore when we were writing our book. I'd be like, I need this in 2 hours. It's just writing, write.
But did I make it happen?
Yes, you did.
I made it happen. That's right.
I wrote some of the book too. I was a pretty great.
Yeah, you were always down to work at whatever hours of the day you would. Yeah. And then you would make time in your busy schedule to kind of review.
Yeah, and write. And you know what? I actually really enjoy writing. I've forgotten how much I really, really appreciate writing.
Good. I'm glad that you know that. That'll be the Oaxaca 2.
Yeah. You're like, you write that shit. I'm not going to be with you anymore. No, but a lot of people don't understand. People who are not writers may not understand just the level of work that goes into actually sitting down and putting all that into a blank canvas and like Diav just looking at this blank page just with that blinking, you know, little cursor. Line right without any words in the paper, you're kind of like, okay, let's, you know, it's so much.
And when you have like, imagine having like a hardcore deadline like every single day, like, you know, so it really like writing, I say, if you're a writer, it's kind of like a blessing and a curse, because if you don't write, you kind of go insane, because it's the only way that you can, like, you know, truly just be yourself on paper, and it helps so you true. Cope. And but also, it's like if you're a writer, that's like the only thing you can do, because you're thinking so much, you know. And to your point of like how awesome it is to be a writer, like yes, I do agree, and it's awesome. And every day, I'm grateful and never look back, and I can't believe that I'm living my dream life, my dream career. As a writer, but also it's like the grass is always greener complex too. Cause yep. Cause I daydream about like being like a tortillero and like living tortillas all day. And how to not have to think for a day would be like awesome. Right.
I know.
So the grass is always greener.
Yeah. I mean, I think about that all the time too. I have certain, dream jobs.
What's your dream job? Like what's like your fantasy kind of like?
I mean,
like
there's different. I mean, there's different dreams for different reasons, right? Like I've always wanted to be a professor, right? Oh. Just go in and out. But then I would have a TA that does all the grading, and I would just show up and tell people what to do, right? Like that's a dream job.
You'll be a Brisa level professor.
I feel like I'd still at some point in my life, I'd still love to be some sort of executive and wear a suit, like those women on TV that wear like sharp suits.
Yeah.
And then sit in like this big office and some place, very movie-esque, like come in and come out and people like giving me coffee in the morning. Like I still feel like at that some point. But then I have like, I would love to work at a bank, like as a teller.
Oh. And I can see that.
And then just come in and out every day and have a date, and then just not having to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Free my mind.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, again, the grass is always greener, right? So I don't know. But at the same time, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. But there are, your mind always wanders, I think. It's just like, wouldn't it be great? Yeah. But now I have a new one. I'd be a writer.
That's right. And
write from anywhere.
And writing right now is like, it's getting harder and harder because there are so many new ways of distracting yourself.
Oh man. Yeah.
Like social media, enough said, your phone, your kids, your parents, just all these, so when you write, you just have to somehow, like you said, just lock yourself up in a whether it's a real room or whether it's like a made up room in your head, and just like sit your ass down and just get it done. And that's what writing is. And and even if that's why, este Gustavo Ariano, he taught me, I was like, it was one day and I was like, man, I'm going through writer's block. I texted him. I asked him, hey, how do you avoid burnout? What do you do to burnout? And he straight up told me, he's like, Javier, like leave burning out to like our tios and tias who like work in construction. Like you and I are just messing around a computer. Just like,
damn.
Like buckle down and we're just messing around the computer and just like get it done. And I was like, to quote him, he said it was a white construct.
He's like, check your privilege, dude.
So exactly. And when he told me that, that was one of the moments in my life when I was like, man, he's so right. And it's like, so writing, if anyone is listening out there that wants to write, that has always wanted to write, that has a passion for writing, it's just, you're not, what I tell people is like, you're not always, like, at first, you're not always going to be the proud, what you publish, what you write is not going to be the proudest. But that's the beauty of writing, is that once you get your flow, once you get that first sentence on paper, the rest of the story writes itself. And then you can go back, you can go back and put that middle part, like, oh, I think this will make a much better opening. And then that's, so once you get over the hump of that first sentence, then you're good.
I tend to write so much. Oh, like really? I embellish so much. Like whenever I have to do a blog or something like that, they always edit me down. Like they're like, no, we just want 2 paragraphs. You just gave us like 10. I'm like, but I can't say what I said in 2 paragraphs. Like hablo mucho. I'm too much. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I just like, they're like, ooh, maybe, I love it when they give me, they say, from 200 to 900 rows, I'm like, okay, 890. I can make it at 890. I can't seem to like, ¿cómo se dice? Like,
condense it. Yeah, too.
I don't know how. Yeah, that's why I have a podcast, because I can talk all I want.
Another
and not get edited.
Another editor that I had from Munchies, Matt Zudas, he told me that, that he follows the Coco Chanel school of editing. It was just like, minimal, mm-hmm. Just keep it as simple as you can. Remove as many extra words. And think about it, like writing, if you're going to commit to clicking on a story, reading it, like you're competing with videos on YouTube, you're competing with podcasts, you're competing with, so it's like, you better make sure that like it's the most direct thing that people can just read and somehow benefit from.
Yeah. If you want to write long, but you leave it to your diary.
Yeah. Damn.
I want to talk a little bit more about the book. What was your favorite part? Aside from having that shot of that glass of mezcal together in the morning when I was like, we're going to do this. What was your favorite part of the process of doing it?
My favorite part of the process of writing Oaxaca, you know, aside from, you know, the fact that I'm, you know, I was writing my first book and just like the thrill of that as a writer, was tapping into my recipe writing skills because recipe writing is really important. You know,
it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And it's really important because, you know, I remember, you know, Bricia, when you first told me that that my only job was to make you sound like Beyonce.
100%.
That was true. That was my prompt, everyone. That was like, you know, it was like, hey, Javier, just do one thing, all right, in this whole book. Like, just make me sound like Beyonce.
And then I would get a draft back and I was like, coffee just doesn't sound like Beyonce. Let me edit this. Look, right, do you see this? This sounds more like Beyonce.
Yeah. And I was like, let me listen to some Destiny Child or something.
Did you really though?
No, I didn't.
See, I'm like,
No, but I did read, remember Bricia, you sent me her it was an ass told to, a beautiful ass told to
on Vogue.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about, and yeah, I can see like what you were alluding to when you assigned me to make you sound like Beyonce was just her very direct short sentences, but very fiercely powerful. Every single word like was there for a purpose.
There you go. That's who I am.
So I got it. I got you. I understand you, but don't worry.
That's what I think.
Favorite part of the cookbook writing process was, you know, learning the new skill and refreshing it to a certain extent of recipe writing.
Mm-hmm.
Recipe writing, because recipes are really important. Bricia is another prompt that you know, when we talked about the seriousness of our recipes and how I really wanted to make sure that they were awesome and as correct as can be. You said that, like, yes, I want this book to be a relic for, you know, of my family and of my family's recipes. For, you know, when my son's older and he wants to cook, I want him to be able to pull out the book and make like a recipe from the book, and, you know, and think of you and think of his family and think of his roots. So because of that, I was like, man, I really need to make sure that the recipes are foolproof and that I don't leave little Eduardo hanging when he's like a 20-something-year-old man.
In college. Cooking estofado.
And he's trying to make estofado for like his homies or something. Hey, check it out. I'm making it. And like he forgets to add like, I don't know, like jalapeno or vinagre or something. And it's like, it was all right, dude. Imagine that kind of disappointment. So in order to prevent that.
I didn't even think about that.
You gotta think of these things when you're writing a cookbook. It's very serious. When I thought about that, I was like, you know, I'm going to make sure that the recipes are awesome. So I learned how to write recipes. I took a course, and how to write recipes, and I make sure that the recipe writing was as strong as the prose, as a storytelling, as a narrative.
Definitely. And how does it work also when you're a co-author, a co-writer, when, you know, it says Bricia López and the family Galaguetza with Javier Cabral? What does that mean? Because I think a lot of people won't also understand that and how that process was.
That's a great question. You know, and you know, if you're a writer and you do get approached for this opportunity, you really, really have to understand and make sure that you are going to dedicate more than a year of your life to writing the story of another person or another family,
or less if you're doing it with me, but
or less if you're doing it with Bricia. Yeah, did it in 10 months. Actually, I think we
which
did it
by
in
the way
round.
Was way less than a year. Yeah. We did it in like 6 months,
which is insane.
You know, here's my my thought on that. This is what I told you.
Yes,
you know, we were approached by many publishers that wanted to publish your book. We ended up going with the publisher that not only granted us and gave us the value we deserved, but also the publisher that said we want to do this fall 2020. And being a fall book is a big deal. Not a lot of people get a fall release.
Mm-hmm. Fall 2020 or 2019?
Sorry, 2019. And we had publishers that said we wanted to do fall 2021. I mean, we had publishers that said spring 2021, maybe fall 2020, not really sure.
Yeah.
And this is 2018 when we're having this conversation. So in my mind, I just thought, why not fall 2019? One publisher said, we want this to be our lead book for fall 2019. And this is what, but are you okay with it? I was like all about it. And that's when I called you that day and I said, listen, I'm going to do this shit with or without you, you in or you out. And I was like, okay, let's do this. but here's my reasoning behind this. And I talked to a lot of people who also wrote books, but maybe not the co-authors. I spoke to the chefs, and they said, well, in reality, you know, people start, we had 2 years, but we only spent the last 6 months on it because we knew the deadline was approaching. And I think that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people say, well, I have 2 years. It's not that they spend 2 months, you know, or a week out of every month for the next 2 years to work on it. They dedicate a specific amount of time within the 2 years. And I think that when you're faced with a deadline, most people tend to go as close to the deadline as possible.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
So I just thought, why don't we in our heads pretend we signed a year ago and now it's time to actually turn in the manuscript? Like, what is the difference?
Yeah.
Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, that's a very valid
point. What's the difference if you, okay, so I give you, you're going to tell me, Javi, that we're going to write this for the next 2 years? Come on. You would have gone too busy with Taco Chronicles. Yeah. I would have gone too busy with other things. Yeah. And then we would have been stuck with the same amount of time.
Yeah, you're right. You have every reason. Yeah.
So that was sort of my thought process on why we needed to do it now. Because if we don't do it now, when?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so there was a reason for the madness.
And I just gave you my skull to make you feel nice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It worked.
But also, you've been part of the family for such a long
time. And that's what, so being a co-writer, when you're with you really have to make sure that you have that deep chemistry with the person, or with the, in this case, the family that you're writing it for, because you really have to tap into, like, you know, in my case, like Bricia, I really have to get into your head and kind of think about how you would.
Right. But you already knew my head though, because we've been friends for so long.
I know. We've known each other for so long. We've been through like some of the highs and lows, and I've known your family and like your entire family. And I've gotten, you know, the privilege of going to Oaxaca and just being there with you and your family. So it was a very natural, fitting.
Yeah. Thing, definitely. Yeah. And I don't think you would have felt the same with somebody else.
And also having that sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? Confianza?
Yeah.
How do you say that?
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah. And openness to talk to each other and keep each other in check and tell you when I really don't like something. And because you already know my personality. You already know who I am. Yeah. So it works. You know, like if I...
Welcome to my life.
Hey, no, I'm nice.
You are nice, you know, but you have to have a thick skin. That's for damn sure.
Well, you know, if you want to be her friend. No, but you know what I mean? Like we had that confianza that I could tell you, hey, listen, I'm not liking this. I like that. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Like, I need this. Like, why? Like, you know, getting things done was easier because we had that chemistry already. I don't know if it would have been anything close to the same had it been with somebody else.
Yeah. You know, and that deep chemistry and that ability to almost finish each other's sentences is really, really comes in
handy. And also, I think like not only you, but Pao. You know, your wife, because Pao is like a sister to us also, and she knows us and she understands how we work and she understands how Bracia is and she understands. So it has a lot to do with it. Because, you know, when you're working with someone and like your other half doesn't understand it, it's difficult, but she understands and she knows and she knows us and she knows who we are. And so I think it was all meant to be. The way it all happened was
you were having lunch with Paola, and then like you found out that I was available because I wasn't working at Vice anymore, so I was no longer under contract, and it was serendipity. It really was it really was like destiny, because I had just literally, it was, I think it was 2 days after I stopped working at Vice. And you guys had lunch and then,
well, me and Paola had worked in a huge project a few years back, and I had to take a year off from having any communication with her because I had PTSD. We didn't get in a fight. It was just like a lot of PTSD in that sort of work environment that we had. So then, you know, I reached out to her and I said, hey, we should grab lunch. Like, let's talk about our PTSD together. Mm-hmm. So we went to have lunch and we had a conversation, and it was a beautiful lunch. And then we started talking about the book. And then I told her, you know, this guy has been wanting me to write this book proposal for a long time, but I just can't find the right person. I was thinking of asking this girl.
But I'm not really sure what to do. And she just said, why don't you just ask Javi? And I said, but I can't. I thought Javi's working at Vice. Like I thought he couldn't. He's like, no, he just quit like last week. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So then I called you.
You called me. And then she, like, as soon as you called me, she like called me right after. Like, and then, so you called me first and her. And I was like, what's up, Lisa? And you know, and I was so glad that you two met, because I love like powerful women in my life, and I have the most respect for women who are leaders and kick ass. And I like to see more women working together, and for the greater good. And that was one thing, like in the book, you know, even though I am a dude, you know, I knew very much that a lot of the power and a lot of the secrets and a lot of like the good sazon is a very matriarchal thing.
Yeah, 100%.
In Oaxaca, especially.
Definitely.
And so that was one thing that I kept in mind throughout the whole book too, is like always think of like the abuelas, of the mamás, of you know, who cook on a daily basis. Like, it's, you know, they can, like your mom, like she can cook something amazing, like with her eyes closed, you know, and like she can cook up like a feast for like 50 people in like a day, because she'll get up at 6 a.m. and
she literally did that when I was in Oaxaca last time. I had friends, I took a trip with some friends from LA and invited people over from Oaxaca, and she cooked the entire thing for everybody, and there was 20 of us.
And like without like a, you know, without thinking twice, without like a second, you know, without having to prepare.
Without having anything. And then, or like, mom, I want to eat this. Okay. And then she'll just like, boom.
Yeah.
Oh. And then she had three different things.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you even do that, mom?
And the next morning she was up and probably cooking your breakfast again.
She was.
So it's, you know, and that's that dedication that, you know, to moms and to, and, you know, and the selfless act that is a mom is something that I think we talk about that in the book, right, Grisha? About like, about sazon, and we talk about your mom's history with her family and how she learned to cook, because she had to cook for her family when she was young, I think she was really young, right? And she couldn't go to school unless she had like the food for the house done. Mm-hmm. So she learned to cook kind of by like a fuerzas, kind of like, but you know, that, like you said, it's a cooking is a muscle.
Chingadasos, la verdad.
Chingadasos, yeah. And it was, you know, that's the beauty of food. There's so many layers of flavor memory and memories and
it's all about memories.
Yeah.
Well, now there is a book tour.
Yes, actually, want to tell everybody, I would love all the Super Mamas to come out and join us. We're gonna go to different cities. This is the first time that we're actually kind of doing something outside of LA. Which is both scary and exciting at the same time, because I'm just like, can someone just please show up? Con que llegue una persona, I'll be happy, you know? But actually, I just did a partnership with Scanpan. Scanpan is in Global Knives, which is my favorite pans that I use at home.
Nice.
And my favorite knives are Global Knives. So they're going to be giving a set of knives for the first 25 people that show up to any of our tour stops.
Yay!
So I'm so excited. And we're going to give
you... Don't flick.
I know. These are really nice knives, by the way.
Yep.
These are Profesh. And we are going to be giving away 10 set cookware set. ¿Cómo se dice?
Sí, set.
Sí, no? Mm-hmm. Cookware set? Full on Scanpan. Yeah. That's what I use at home. I absolutely love and adore this brand so, so much. So I'm so happy that we're going to be doing that. But October 26th, we're going to be in San Diego.
San Diego,
we're
mamas.
Going to be in the Day of the Dead Festival by Arte Alexia in San Diego. So please, everyone, and all this information is ilovemole.com/Oaxaca cookbook. But for all my San Diego moms, please come by. Make us feel like someone cares about the book. Come buy a book. We're going to be in Arte Alexia's Day of the Dead event. And on the 27th, Javi and I are doing a panel with Evan Kleiman from LA at Now Serving LA. It's a cookbook store
in Chinatown.
In Chinatown,
yeah, it's tiny. So definitely, if you want to get in on that, I think it's RCP.
Yes,
and make sure to show up early, because I'm pretty sure
will fly.
Everybody's gonna go there to see Javi. Guinea fans. And then on the 29th, we are going to be in Chicago.
Yay!
That's so exciting. We are going to be in a store called Read It and Eat It. Again, check out all the information. But October 29th, Chicago, you guys, please, all our Chicago moms, come through. I would love to see you. November 3rd, we're going to go to Vroman's in Pasadena.
A lot of people have hit me up about the Pasadena location, which I'm really excited. All my Pasadena sisters. What? Not that I'm from Pasadena. I'm just really close to that city. And the 5th, we're going to be to Brooklyn and this cute little shop called Homecoming, which when we were deciding where to have certain stops, we wanted to support local businesses, fellow Latina. So Homecoming is owned by a Latina. It's a beautiful shop. I can't wait. And also on our November 12th stop, we're going to your wife's town, Portland.
That's right.
When we are going to be at our friend's shop, Via Raiz, also. I love that tiny shop. It's beautiful. Again, all these places are very intimate and tiny. So please RSVP, get your tickets. And on December 8th, a long life dream of mine is coming true because I am a huge fan of a chef by the name of Susan Goyen, who has a restaurant in West Hollywood called Luke's. I have been a fan of her Sunday suppers. You know, I go to all her events every time she has. We've gone to her barbecue fest.
Oh,
her
rib fest.
Remember?
Oh my God.
That was amazing.
So good. Yes.
I am a huge fan of the Sunday supper dinners that she does.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Suzanne. She is one of my life goals, hashtag. She's amazing. She has 3 children. She has 4 restaurants. She's James Beard Award winner, best restaurant, best chef. She's a freaking badass. I love her. And she's just so kind. So we're doing a Sunday supper with her on December 8th at Luke's for her cookbook series.
Nice.
So we're going to have a night at Luke's. I'm going to feel sick. So important to be at Luke's. I'm like, I love that restaurant. I was going to get married there. Remember?
Yep.
Yeah. I love it so much. But then I just eloped. But anyway, thank you. Hobby.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to plug? Anything else?
No, can we follow you, find you?
Oh, you can find me at Doug Glutster, no spaces. So it's Theglutster on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And also check out my site, theglutster.com, where I archive a lot of my work if you want to catch up. I want to say thank you for having me because I've listened to you through the podcast. But being here in the hot seat is you two have something really special going on.
Oh, aww. Thank you. This is not over. We still have the fire questions for you.
Oh,
so
yes,
are you ready?
That's right. We were gonna come back. Okay, let's take a break and take the fire. Yes.
Both fire questions.
Yes. Okay, let's go back with fire questions. Never mind. Hey sisters, thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your Super Mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Okay, now back to the show.
Questions?
I thought you listened to the show.
Yeah,
you don't listen.
I do, but I forgot.
He was like, yeah, but not all the way.
I just listened to the intro, then I stopped. Okay. Ariel or Jasmine?
Damn.
I promise it will make you sound like a pedophile. I promise.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Ariel is the
Little Mermaid.
The Mermaid. Well, like Herc, because it's my sheepdog, and she has a sheepdog too.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good answer.
And I love seafood.
Oh my God. That's the best answer yet. Everybody's like, no, because, you know, we love Jasmine because she's brown.
Yeah, you're like, Ariel, just you talk and I love seafood.
Best answer ever.
Oh, you win. Texting or phone call?
Texting.
Dinner and a movie or Netflix and chill?
Netflix and chill. Hold on, I don't know. It's I do in my head. I am the guy that likes to go to the movies, but I'm so freaking busy. I'm so damn busy that just Netflix and chill is how to do.
For now. Okay, that'll do it for now.
Yeah.
Favorite book?
Oaxaca. I'm cooking from the home. From the, from the, from the, from the
A massage or a facial?
Massage, for sure. Full body, back.
Any specific type? What's your favorite massage type?
The day after I got married.
With the happy ending?
I mean, yeah. The day after I got married, we have an amazing masseuse in Puerto Vallarta, in Paola's hometown, that she makes house calls. She's one of Paola's mom's friends. We do it. It's like a tradition. Every single time we go to Vallarta, we get a massage from her. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you know, as much as we can, because massages in Mexico are much cheaper than massages in the U.S. So I have a really, really messed up spine and shoulders, and I like carry a lot of stress and anxiety. And so I have a really fucked up body, like my back is really messed up. So my massage with her was almost 3 hours long.
Wow.
And that was like, and I didn't fall asleep. So it was really deep, like.
Were you happy at the end?
Oh man, yeah. No, it was just like, yeah.
It have a happy ending then.
So imagine. Okay, when you two got married, how stressful. Once it's all finally over,
I eloped, honey.
Oh yeah,
I had my
I did my wedding in 6 weeks. It was like 60 people. Oh, well, same as yours.
Yeah, I eloped and then I went to IHOP. There was zero stress about that. Okay, early riser or night owl?
It's changing. It's changing. Now I'm in a stage of my life where I'm becoming an early riser because I have to. Yeah.
Okay. Do you like a girl who wears hoops or eyeliner? If you had to choose,
eyeliner.
Oh.
Okay. It is. I will see that Paola. Gangster. Uh-huh.
Okay, Paulina.
Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
That's to ask. Yeah.
Beyonce or Selena?
Selena.
Beyonce or J-Lo?
I gotta give J-Lo respect.
All right. Want to answer the next one, Paulina?
Tampons or pants?
No.
You know what? I'm a proud husband, and I know nature.
I know nature.
And you know, I'm pretty sure I've bought like pads in the past, and I've been that
pad squad.
That proud, you know, husband in the
nice. Right. Honestly, thank you.
Are you more into boxers or briefs?
Boxers. Or boxer briefs, the hybrids.
Okay, hybrids. Yeah. Coffee or tequila?
Both every day.
Tequila on my coffee.
Okay. Mezcal.
Favorite cocktail?
Favorite cocktail.
Ooh, okay. This is a good one, guys. Because he's about to school you on cocktails.
Favorite cocktail? I don't know. I would probably have to be a Negroni made with mezcal. So a mezcal Negroni.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Look at you. Okay. I guess this is like not probably me. I know you love tacos, but I want to talk about maybe top three tacos you've had in your life.
Top three tacos I had in my life. Well, that's it's like a very unfair question to me.
Okay, fine. I've had top three tacos right now.
I'll give you my life. It's
what
I meant to say is that through the Taco Chronicles research work, I got to visit like, I think like how many states? 8 states or 10 states in Mexico, just eating tacos. Like that's all I did when I was there. Like that was my only job. And there were a handful of tacos that just like, you know, made me fall in love with Mexico through every bite. And, you know, being proud of being Mexican. The first one that comes to mind is, in Monterrey, there was a taco de arrachera.
Oof.
With tuétano, with grilled, bone marrow on top. Jesus. With a fresh chile. I'm sorry. Was that like a limey, a chiltepin salsa with fresh chile?
I love chiltepin salsa.
Yeah, and so that's definitely one of the tacos that actually and actually it didn't make it onto the show, so that was like it got left on the cutting room floor. And I love fish tacos. So my favorite fish taco is in Puerto Vallarta. There's a place called Marisma. It's a stand, and they use mahi mahi, and the batter is super crispy and light, and they make their handmade tortillas, but they're not too thick. They're super chewy, almost like mochi like, and great salsas. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through this book, I've made it at home a couple times already, for chilajo. So masa, like a nice jaime tortilla with a nice chile ajo and some fresh queso fresco and some guacamole. Like that's for me. That's like my everyday taco because it's vegetables.
You're so healthy.
Now look at him. Tacos de chile ajo.
Tacos chile ajo, man. But the first one is arrachera, and like, yeah. I'm like,
that's
like,
with that, no.
Yeah, that's like as bad as it can get.
Okay. Sex or a massage?
Sex.
Such a man.
Well, I don't know. You'd be surprised at the answer. Okay, and then last one. What are you absolutely loving right now?
What am I absolutely loving
aside
right now?
Aside from the Lopez family, obviously.
Obvio.
I'm really into Foos Gone Wild.
Who's that?
It's like an Instagram account. Like that's
really?
Like that just really? posts like foos doing dumb things, like, you know, like inner city foos, I guess. Like, it's kind of
Foos Going Wild.
Foos Going
that's
Wild.
A good
shout,
one.
Shout
that's
to
a
Foos
first.
Going Wild. And yeah, because you guys said like a thing or something, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's great. That's
I'm
great.
Follow
I
mean, that Instagram account right now.
I know. I'm like,
thanks
let me
so
look
much
it
for coming. It's not easy being in. It's not easy. Being around my sister or not, because it's just really dumb sometimes.
No, you too. You know, you too. But like I said, you have something really good going on. It's like good cop, bad cop. But
good cop. Thanks for making me the good cop. Paulina, you gotta stop being the bad cop, okay?
Thank you, Javi.
Oh, Javi.
What?
Hi, Javi.
Keep it real.
You always keep it real, so I love you.
I know.
Everyone get our book.
Oaxaca, yes.
Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico.
Dropping today.
Yes, today.
Come to our...
October 22nd, 2019.
Come to the book talks and
yes.
Book panels around the world. Tell your friends, tell your family.
Please.
Support.
I mean, look, if Beyonce and Jay-Z got the book, you should get
I
the
know.
Book.
Oprah has the book. Maluma yeah. has the book. Come
for
on.
For real.
Come on, guys.
And really, like the recipes, I mean, Brisa and I, like, we are the whole point of this book is to just get people to... Like cook, and it's really easy recipe. So it's like pollo, frijoles. You know, just you can do it. You can do it. I believe in it.
Share your recipes with us. Share your lady.
#Oaxaca cookbook.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Javi.
See you later.
Adios.